hearts thrill when we sing a hymn like the one we have just taken upon our lips. For we really believe from the Word of God that the man who came the first time to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself is coming the second time without sin, without the sin question, for that was settled once and forever. He is indeed coming again. And I hope we're amongst those who are looking for him, anticipating the joy of his coming for his beloved bride, and then with that blood-bought company returning to earth to set up his millennial kingdom. Nothing can be more triumphant or glorious as a theme for those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you open your Bibles, please, to the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. We are going to read one of our Lord's discourses, and it runs from the 5th verse through the 21st verse. We're going to read it all, realizing that limited time will not allow us to touch on all the points that are here. Nevertheless, I don't want to avoid any of it in my reading. So we'll break in at verse 4, the introductory verse, and go down through verse 21. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bore fruit at hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of testing fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they who, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they who, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a lamp, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a lampstand, that they who enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hidden that shall not be known and come to light. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come to him because of the crowd. And it was told him by certain, who said, "Thy mother and thy brethren stand outside desiring to see thee." And he answered and said unto them, "My mother and my brethren are these who hear the word of God and do it." He that hath ears, let him hear. Did I quote that correctly? No. I left out something. And the two words I left out are the two important words. What are the two words I left out? Notice them in verse 8. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We all have organs of hearing, and I suppose that unless impaired in some way, we are all hearing the words that are being enunciated from the pulpit this morning. So physically, you are all listening, I hope, and hearing what is being said. But there may be in this audience men and women, young and old, who do not have ears to hear. You say, well, what is the difference, preacher? The difference is illustrated in the parable. There were four kinds of soil on which the good seed fell. Now, the good seed is the Word of God. It's incorruptible. It was the same in every case. It's the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The prophet Isaiah could tell us that the Word will not return void. It will accomplish that whereunto it is sent. The tragedy, as is apparent to a casual reading of this portion, is that only one-fourth of that which is sown produced anything of lasting value. So this morning, we may have in this audience a sizable one, that which is represented by these four different kinds of soil. Let's examine them just very briefly, shall we? The first is the wayside soil. It was hard, impenetrable. It became a place where the birds could come down and quickly pluck away the seed so that it could not enter and produce fruit. The Lord Jesus said, this type of hearer is a person who hears, but immediately Satan, the devil, the enemy of souls, comes along and snatches away the seed, lest that individual, man or woman, young or old, should believe and be saved. Now, Satan is very artful. He's very treacherous. He doesn't mind you coming to church, just as long as you do not carry away in your heart what you listen to. He will say to you something like this: it's a very respectable thing to go to church on Sunday morning. And, of course, you could expect the preacher to believe what he preaches, but that isn't necessarily enough for all the audience. They don't all have to believe what he says. And, you know, it's all right to belong to a religious organization, but to get down to these nitty-gritty things, like for instance, saying you're a sinner, like admitting I'm a lost, guilty person, I'm condemned, I'm before God helpless, and if I die just as I am, a natural person, having come into this world with a sin nature, I'll be separated from God forever. Don't listen too much to that kind of thing. Let that bother your conscience. After all, good people don't need to hear those kind of things. And of course, this business of having so many hymns in the hymnal about the sacrifice of Christ, about his suffering on the cross. You know, that's rather a repulsive thing to think of. A person who is bleeding from hand and feet and side and thorn-crowned brow and lacerated back. After all, good people with ethical taste, they really don't pay any attention to that. It's all right for the preacher to preach it, but don't you worry about it. Don't get involved in it. That's all the devil wants. He just wants you to listen to that point where you do not honestly receive that word and confess your need and turn in living faith to the Son of God who died for you and rose again, and who alone can forgive your sins and impart eternal life. Now, the devil has succeeded beautifully over the centuries, and in Raleigh today and throughout the world, he's doing that same kind of manipulating. You listen to the preacher, make believe you're very religious, but don't go out of that building having acknowledged your condition as a sinner and turning to Christ as Savior. That's all the devil wants. And some of you may, I don't know, but some of you may be an easy prey for the devil. In other words, you just don't have ears to what? To hear. Oh yes, the organs of hearing are clear. But you know the Bible says, hear and your soul shall live. Where you really hear the Word of God is not merely with the intellect, it's with the heart. I wonder, do you have that kind of hearing this morning? Well, let's look on. We see the second kind of hearer. We find that there was a large area, evidently, that had a slab of stone. And on this slab of stone, there was just a little bit of earth. And so, without any depth of earth, when that little seedling entered, it immediately sprung up. But no sooner had it sprung up, and the sun with scorching intensity beat down on that area where there was that very little depth of soil, and consequently, that which began to spring up and had every look of bringing forth a harvest withered away. Three things it lacked. It lacked, first of all, depth of soil. Secondly, it lacked moisture. And consequently, because it was sown on a slab of rock, it lacked root. There was no place for the root to go. Now I believe, dear friend, that this represents superficial hearers of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus said these are like folks who, when they hear it, immediately with joy accept it. Go to a big evangelistic campaign, and apparently many are being saved and some soundly converted. And so there is a great enthusiasm. This seems to be the thing that's acceptable. And so we make our profession. But we lack, in reality, the possession of life. Now, when our Lord Jesus was here on earth, there were many who professed to be his disciples. And we have a record of something that took place in the synagogue at Capernaum in John chapter 6. The Lord Jesus, in that sermon, pressed upon his hearers his true deity, that he was God, manifest in flesh. And the way he said it was so evident to these people that he was claiming to be more than the Son of Man, that he was claiming to be the unique Son of God. You know what they said? This is a hard say. Who can hear it? In other words, this is something too much for us to accept. We can't go any longer with this Jesus. And so, from that time forth, it says, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. As soon as the word which he proclaimed set him forth in his true character as God manifest in flesh, there was a feeling of resentment. There was that rebellion against himself, and a refusal to acknowledge his claims. In the Christian world today, we have many who deny the eternal deity of Jesus Christ. And when the servant of Christ, the individual Christian, begins to insist that this is the foundation of all Christianity, that God was made flesh in order that he might atone for sin, there is a rising of rebellion against it. As long as it's popular, as long as you can go along with the crowd, as long as there's no cost, it's easy. But the moment you have to stand up and be counted and say, yes, I believe this to be the doctrine of the Word of God, you're going to find the sun of persecution. You're going to find that resentment. And then how do you fare? How do you stand then? Do you have that word in your heart that will enable you to stand for God in situations such as that? The superficial hearer, he immediately embraces what he thinks is Christianity without realizing what really, truly Jesus Christ had to say of himself. And we find in the third instance, the soil was good, but there was something in it that hindered the production of fruit. It represents the preoccupied heart. In that heart, there were tares, there were thorns, and there were three kinds. The Lord Jesus enumerated them. Tares, love of money, and pleasures. And he said, these, having embedded themselves in the soil, prior to the hearing of the word, would not permit that word to spring up. A preoccupied heart. I don't know what you've been occupied with this past week. And I suppose you would be perfectly right to say it's none of your business. And I'm not trying to pry into your personal affairs. I dare say that you've been occupied with business. You've had to be. You wouldn't hold your job long if you didn't put your mind down to it. I'm sure you have. Then there may have been many cares that have pressed in upon you this week. You've had so much to do. You've had a very full schedule. You just had to keep this appointment. You just had to go there. The cares of this world. Then, there may have been pleasures. Oh, you know, you've got to have a break from all this pressure. And so there is the entertainment world, and it's making money as never before. And much of the entertainment and amusement and pleasure today is sinful and vile and immoral. There are those who may be out to make the first million. And if Uncle Sam keeps inflating the dollar, you may make it. But that's your goal. That's your object. That's your aim. You're out after it. You'll wear the skin off your knuckles in order to get it. Now, beloved, I have not drawn the picture too obvious. This is what is here in the Word of God. All the devil wants, all that the enemy of our souls wants is to crowd out the Word of God. Supposing I was to ask a personal question, how many in this audience has read this book once during the week? You may be quite ashamed of yourself. You wouldn't like to own it. Or if I would ask even something more, how many here have consistently read their Bibles every day? And your face would get redder still because you haven't been doing it. There's something wrong somewhere in Christianity when we can't go to the source of knowledge day by day. When we can't get our direction from God. When we can't learn the great and marvelous precepts and the doctrines that are in here concerning the grace of God and the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Cares of this world. Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered. Thou art careful, cumbered about many things. Many a Martha is so cumbered that she doesn't read her Bible anymore. Or at least, not the way she once did. There are those who are caught up with business and the making of that almighty dollar, which is not so almighty anyway. And because of the emphasis you are placing upon the commercialism and the dollar-making process in America, you're not reading your Bible anymore either. Those who are dabbling in the pleasures of this world, they're being having their money taken from them, they're not getting anything from God either. What a tragedy! Now this is the picture. I know I'm hitting some of you. I hope that in some measure it's striking home to my heart, as well as to your heart. You call yourself a Christian. You say you're a believer. The proof of your reality will be the way you treat the Word of God. Well, that's it. Now let's look at that last hearer. It's good ground. And as the seed went into the good ground, there was nothing like a ledge of rock under it. There were no thorns and thistles to choke it. But it was well prepared. It was plowed. And when that soil, when that seedling entered that soil, it sprang up. We're told it sprang up bringing forth 100-fold. By the way, 100-fold is more than 100%. If you started out with $10 and ended up with $20, you would have 100%. If you started out with $10 and ended up with 100%, you'd have 10 times that amount. I mean, you'd have 100 times that amount. Now, there's a difference. Now, beloved friend, what is this like? This is the person who has an honest and a good heart. In other words, God is saying this. You are willing to give me the credit for telling the truth, even though that truth may run across your grave, even though that truth at heart is judging you for things you're allowing in your life. But nevertheless, with an honest, open heart, Godward, you're saying, oh God, I will, by thy grace, carry out in my life what has been indicated in thy word. And beloved, I know of absolutely nothing that is more important for those of us who call ourselves Christians than just exactly that. That we say, by the grace of God, I will be obedient to the word of God. And as a result, there is going to be fruit, more fruit, much fruit, abiding fruit in the lives of God's people. It'll be the fruit of the Spirit. It'll be fruit in souls saved. But it'll be that which will be abiding, that which is eternal, that which is for the glory of God. Let me point out something. In the first case, the seed was stolen. In the second case, it was scorched. In the third case, it was strangled. And in the last case, it stood. It bore fruit. There was life there. And that is the emphasis that is on the first part of the discourse. The Word of God, received honestly into the heart, produces L-I-F-E, life. Life. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. L-I-F-E. Do you possess it? Profession is one thing. Possession of life is an entirely different thing. We'll move on very rapidly now. We come to the second area of truth, and we find this, that when the Word of God goes forth unhindered, it produces light, and light with a penetrating force to reach within the inner recesses of a man's being. The Lord Jesus speaks about putting a light on a place, in a place where it can be seen by all who enter the house. On a lampstand. He said you wouldn't light a lamp and put it under a bed or under a bushel. The bushel again speaks of commercialism. I'm a Christian, but I wouldn't dare say anything because it might damage my business. I don't believe you should be awkward. And I don't believe you should offend people unnecessarily. But if your business comes before God, you better get alone in God's presence. There's something wrong somewhere Christians can't testify for Jesus Christ where they work. You don't put a light under that which is commercial, under a bushel. And secondly, you don't put a light under a bed. And if there's one thing that's ruining the church today, is that we love ease too much. We only come to service when it's convenient. We only do this unless when pressure is put on us. But we find plenty of time to do the other, those things that make for ease. And I want to say that unless we got some people here in Raleigh that is willing to sacrifice, the Church of Jesus Christ will be weak in this city. Love of ease. Putting the light under the bed. Where do you put the lamp? Where do you put the light? You put it on a lampstand so that it can give light. What's the purpose of a lamp? Illumination. Illumination. I know of no other purpose for it. And so when the Word of God goes forth unhindered as light, it penetrates the human heart. The classic verse for that is Hebrews 4, or 12 and 13 verses. It says this, the Word of God is living and operative and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, sharper than any surgeon's scalpel. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. For all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Friend, what kind of a man are you? What kind of a person are you, dear lady? Young person, what do you think of yourself? Gray-haired man and father, man, grandfather, grandmother, what kind of a person are you? May I say something kindly to you? You don't know what kind of a person you are until you get into God's Word, and only there you learn what you really are. Oh, I know, you might say my neighbors think I'm fine. My business associates pat me on the back. But that's not important. Really, it isn't important. All important. The important thing is, how do you look in the eyes of God? And if you neglect this book, you just don't know. You have an inflated ego. You are important. You are somebody. Is that the way God sees you? Again, I say, you will never know those little sins in your life until you get into this book. You'll never realize the envy, the pride, the jealousy, those things that are not obvious to the natural eye, but they still are there undercover. You know what God will do with you? You'll bring them out into the open, and you'll fall on your knees. And it won't be long before you'll be crying in the presence of God to forgive you for the things you've been allowing in your life. And as a Christian, oh yes, beloved, we just never know what we're like until we let God turn the searchlight with all its convicting, penetrating power into our hearts. And then we know what we're like. I have a sneaking idea that a whole lot of people don't read their Bibles regularly because they don't like that kind of life. That's too obvious. Beloved friend of mine, I want to say there's a warning here that if you walk in the light according to verse 18, God will give you more light. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. But notice this, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. There are certain people who seem to be good at one time. They seem to be active. They seem to be out and out. But today, you shake your head. You say, I wonder whether they ever really knew the Lord. There was a place in their lives when they began to pull away and draw back, and they wouldn't walk with God. And they've lost even that which they seem to have. That's the obvious indication here. And in the 11th chapter of Luke, where this is amplified upon. Very, very important. That when God shows me a step, I take it in obedience to himself. If in the first area of truth,
The Word of God produces life. In the second area, the Word of God is light that penetrates the heart. Now let's look at the last. We find that the Lord Jesus, crowded about with many hearers, was told that his mother and his brothers were without seeking an audience with him. And in a sense, he said, this, you're wrong. My mother and my brothers aren't out there. My mother and my brothers are right here. Well, who are these that you're referring to, Lord? Notice, please, how he answers in verse 21. My mother and my brethren are these who hear the Word of God and do it. Now here's our last point. Heart obedience to the Word of God is an evidence of love to Jesus Christ. And a love that is evidenced in a sense of unity in the body of Christ or in the family of God. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ proclaiming a spiritual family. And in that spiritual family, it's the atmosphere of love that pervades. Oh, it is a wonderful thing to hear them say, if you keep my commandments, you have love for me. This is love, that we keep his commandments and love one another in the family. I'm so glad that I can grip the hand of a brother and speak to a dear sister and say, I've never met you before, but if you claim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are my brother. You are my sister. It makes no difference where you come from. It makes no difference what your standing in society, what your national background may be. If you know and love Jesus Christ and are obedient to his word, you are in the family. How significant this is. How did the Lord Jesus show his relationship to his Father? I do always those things that please my Father. My meat is to finish his work, to do his will. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Not my will, but thine be done. That relationship between Jesus Christ and God the Father was made solid by obedience on the part of the Son. How's it made solid on the part of believers? By obedience to the Word of God, who hear the Word of God and do it. We are to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Beloved, here it is. Clear, plain, simple. Emphasized right in the pages of sacred writ. Now all I ask of you is, what is your response? I couldn't make you hear if I wanted to this morning. All I can do is be the sounding board. All I can tell you is what's in the Bible. But your response will determine whether you heard or not. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Will you go out of this building a better man? Will you go out a better woman? The answer will be positively yes, if you have had ears to hear the Word of God this morning. We bow our heads and we'll be praying. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. Man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, said Jesus. We thank you that one of old found that the precepts of the Lord were sweeter than the honeycomb, and more to be desired than much fine gold. O God, enable us to put a value upon the sacred scriptures that will enable us to be Bible reading, Bible practicing men and women. The world is not going by the word, but we are not of the world. We have been redeemed out of it, and we ask you that we might be faithful to our God. And for that man this morning, or that woman, young or old, who has come in this building and he or she is not saved, Satan has been plucking the seed out of the heart over the years. They have nothing but a false profession. Oh God, break them. Because thou hast loved them so much, break them down. Help them to see the emptiness of a hollow profession. And may they come into possession of life today by receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. For we pray in his worthy and precious name. Amen. Thank you, and the Lord bless you each one.